The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. It's episode 13, unlucky 13 for some, I suppose, of season 4, our 13th episode of 2024. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word and letting people know the important work that we're doing here. And in light of the foreclosure of many traditional news resources that the public would take advantage of through the auspices of CTV in the good old days, meaning before yesterday, when you would have new newscasts, weekend newscasts, now CTV in Winnipeg, they're going to take off statutory holidays, federal holidays. They don't want to pay overtime. Can you imagine there's going to be no local TV coverage of Winnipeg on CTV on Canada Day? Where's their commitment to this community? While they're busy searching for it, you found commitment to the community in terms of information, investigation, putting the pressure on the system on your behalf, talking about important issues, holding the right people accountable at the right time for the right things. That's why I'm here, and we're going to continue to do that with this episode. Another of our sequence that isn't a sequence of episodes that isn't so much multifaceted, but more so focused on one issue. Alone in the city, and I believe in Western Canada, I've been covering the broader scope of anti-Semitism and the many forms it takes, whether it's by activism on the streets, whether it's the insidious infiltration of universities, and as I've also learned, our public schools. Whether it's the way it acts out in other environments, workplaces, for instance, academia, and in the media, where fairness is a doctrine not well understood when it comes to matters involving the state of Israel, the history of the Jewish people, the history of the region, and the portrayal of Palestinians and Palestinianism. But this actually pivots off of an email that was sent out by the Winnipeg Free Press to its readers from the editor, Paul Simin, and it was sent out on January 24th, saying, "We're listening to and learning from our readers." And to make a long story short, they had just gotten it from all directions. They got a lot of very negative feedback, and Paul Simin had to try to turn this negative into some sort of positive. And so he chose the traditional route, a mea culpa to the readers. As he wrote, "The Free Press has long been a place to turn to not only for news of the day, but for a wide range of commentary on those headlines. However, we don't want our pages and pixels to sow division in a world that's already too divisive." I know that's news to many of you. The Winnipeg Free Press would say something like the next sentence I'm going to read you. "We don't ever want to leave the impression the Free Press is mean-spirited." Really. This is how bad the grovel goes. "In recent weeks," admitted Simin, quote, "opinions we published have left us open to accusations we were divisive, sexist, and mean-spirited. At the same time, since the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, that our editorial described as an act of terrorism, my inbox has been in the crosshairs of those on both sides of this bloody war. The opinions we published have led to allegations the Free Press is anti-Semitic, while simultaneously facing charges we are biased against the plight of Palestinians in Gaza." So this has been an ongoing problem, as well as other things. I mentioned divisive, sexist. That reference is a very strongly worded and unfairly worded column from Tom Broadbeck about Heather Stephenson when she was the outgoing premier, that the Free Press had to apologize for proficiently. Is that the right word? That's probably not the right word. Profusely. "The hard-hitting critique included suggestions," wrote Paul Simin, "she allowed men to have undue influence on her time as premier. For that, we apologize. The language tone attacks on the unvaccinated. This was another column. I mentioned this in the podcast that they'd run a column that was just incredibly offensive, written by some dame in Saskatchewan, whose anger is, she's like the female modern-day Bill Needle. Simin, forced to admit that the language tone attacks on the unvaccinated provide us with no immunity against the criticism that came our way. Even the free press, who's as in favor of everybody putting a needle in whatever body part it fits in, as any media outlet in the country, even they had to admit that column had gone too far. But he goes back around to Gaza and Israel, saying we're always listening and willing to take action, whether it's tweaking headlines, soliciting new and different opinions, or adjusting the mix on our letters page. I'm going to interrupt his plea to the readers to tell you that with regards to Simin's belief that they would adjust the mix on his letter page, the free press is being played as useful idiots by the far-left, self-hating Jewish Marxists and others of that anti-Zionist, supposedly not anti-Semitic crowd. There are three letters the editor from members of either the United Jewish People's Order, which is shorthand for Jewish Communists, and Independent Jewish Voices, which is a rump group of very marginal views in terms of the Jewish community, the Jewish community would have about international affairs and about a Jewish state. Three letters to the editor on Saturday were from members of either IJV or United Jewish People's Order. There's a fourth letter that was shared their point of view. It was critical of a letter to the editor from the CEO of the Jewish Federation, as they put it, applauding Canada for discontinuing funding to the United Nations Relief Work Agency, which, of course, is the training ground for Hamas radicalism jihadists through their schools and through their other programs and through their employees. So the free press, having said, we'll adjust the mix on our letters page, unfortunately, it turned the dial all the way one way instead of the other. It's so hard for Paul Simin. As he says, taking the temperature of a community is difficult. Fortunately, readers are always there to help me with setting the thermostat. Well, the thermostat has been set to high, high, high. Because not 2 days after this went out, where he said, I'm grateful to have you share your opinions with me on what we got right and what we got wrong. He wants the free press, Paul Simin, at a trusted place to turn to for defining the news of the day and debating the issues of our time. Well, problem is that within 2 days, one of their star columnists had tried to define the news through the narrow lens of far-left radical so-called feminist intersectionality and control the debate. And no one on the editorial side could pick up just how offensive a column was put forward by Jen Zarate. When I come back from this break, I'm going to provide you with some of the feedback about this from not one but two esteemed Winnipeggers through the auspices, through the pages of, I think is more accurate, the Winnipeg Jewish Review, where Rhonda Spivak also has her own opinions with regards to these matters. There's a program at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights on, I guess it would have been the 25th. So Simin sends this out on the 24th. 25th, there's a program to discuss sexual violence as perpetrated by Hamas on October 7th and subsequently on hostages. And poor Paul Simin was thrown under the bus before in the old days we would have said the ink wasn't even dry on the plea to readers to support the paper and trust his judgment. Almost instantaneous betrayal. Be back with the details and the very, very, very disturbing comments, observations about what the Free Press published right after this.
In the tradition of asking hard-hitting questions.
Have you made the beds yet, madam?
Not that question. It's the Great Canadian Talk Show Podcast on Spotify, Apple, Player FM.
And at actionline.ca.
The home of public affairs commentary in Winnipeg.
This episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show is sponsored by PKP Renovations and Repairs. we take pride in the neighborhoods we work in, serving the North End, West Kildonan, and the Maples Garden City area for over 20 years. Call 204-297-5446 or email us at info@pkprenovations.com. We help make sure Winnipeg has good homes for good people.
Is your business plagued by thefts and break-ins? Is your residential property under siege by out-of-control crime and vandalism? You need effective safety measures to protect your property. Jamrock Security can help you today. We have the expertise to deliver the right solutions and get your security problems under control. Call 204-880-1564 or contact our website, jamrocksecurity.ca. Do security. Do it smart. Jamrock Security.
Just want to remind you folks, every episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is on actionline.ca, and as well, various articles, some about hate crimes and anti-Semitism, others about civic affairs. For instance, our piece late last year about what went on in Goulet. That wasn't a podcast. That was an article about the failed bike lane on Goulet and the treacherous road conditions that resulted on a truck route that Matt Allard, city councilor, still hasn't addressed. For instance, our article just this week that we published where we compiled the various news reports a week late and a few dollars short in covering the aftermath, the questions about the emergency response to the murder of Kyriakos Voijakis in West Winnipeg. We compiled 9 questions from the various statements that have come out, the different pieces you can pick off the different media stories, something we specialize in. The media sometimes don't realize what they have. We put it together, 9 questions. The 10th question, which media outlet's going to cover it? You can go to actionline.ca and you'll see that story posted, as well as many others. Take a look through the categories. You'll see that when it comes to covering affairs in your community, around Winnipeg, in Manitoba, and once in a while we dip our toes in other ventures, including federally, you'll see that our output, the quality, matches up with any corporate newsroom in this market, and matches up not just favorably, but in many respects when it comes to looking out for you, your point of view, your values. It is not a contest, because we're here for you. One of the ways we're here for you is to keep you up to date on how anti-Semitism is creeping into our public institutions, and that includes the media, which brings us to Jen Zorati, who wrote a column published on January 26th. The battlefield between feminism and rapes of war. I cut and pasted some of what she said, and which you'll hear the criticisms of from the letter writers in the to the Jewish media. But they weren't letter writers, I want to clarify, those were op-eds. Where she went so far as to say, you know, it's not believable that these women who were victimized in ways reminiscent and even far worse than the pogroms across the Poland and Russia and other wonderful places in Europe in the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 1900s. It's less believable that this is the way they would want their stories to be told. Slides containing photos of nameless, faceless women, their bodies contorted, their pants bloodied, showed a presentation that veered into agitprop. I saw this in glancing at the column. In preparing this, I mean, as bad as it sounded when the writers took it apart, when you see it all put back together, it's horrific, because her next sentence is, the claim that Hamas beheaded babies, for example, was repeated at least twice. She defends Hamas. Maybe they're innocent. Is it a further exploitation of women's bodies to drive a political agenda and justify violence? People on the mic on Wednesday, so this would have been 26.5, actually the 24th, well, same night that Simmons' email went out. Look at that, I was wrong. The event itself was the 24th. It was written up the next day and got published on the Friday, I guess. The women kept saying, all women matter and women everywhere matter, but I couldn't help but wonder, which women? There wasn't even a cursory pass at solidarity or even an acknowledgement of the gender-based harms currently being experienced by Palestinian women. You know, it's one thing everybody thought about during World War II in the concentration camps. Boy, those poor German women. That's roughly speaking the equivalency. Framing, now when I talk about framing, right, defining news, here's how in her column she defined feminism in relation to the Middle East by quoting Judith Levine in The Intercept. The Intercept. It is feminist to demand an end to Israeli apartheid and occupation of Palestinian lands. Apartheid! So we see what direction she came from, and so did Jessica Kogan. We'll start with Jessica Kogan on February 2nd, who read with, as she put it, absolute shock and disgust, the Zarate opinion piece. She wrote, Jessica, highly regarded member of the Jewish community, just to explain. I was at the Jewish Child and Family Services program on January 24th, the Canadian Museum for Human Rights, and I'm left wondering how Ms. Zarate could have left that program with the viewpoint she did without even a shred of compassion for the victims discussed that evening. Zarate said it's terrible that Israeli and Jewish women feel banned and ignored. It would have been a smart decision to stop there. Instead, she goes on to scold us for the way we are being forced to bear witness. Does Ms. Zarate live under a rock? This is a Free Press column that she's talking about, folks. Has she not seen the vehement October 7th denial that's going on in the world? Much like Holocaust denial, some allege October 7th was a hoax. It did not happen. The women were not raped. Does Zarate think these are the types of pictures that we want to show and the types of stories we want to tell? How I wish we had the privilege of making a different, less heartbreaking choice. It's a privilege afforded only to certain people. People like Ms. Zarate. The scolding does not stop there, and it gets worse. Ms. Zarate then accused the Jewish community, including Jewish women, of exploiting, quote, women's bodies to drive a political agenda and justify violence. There's so many thoughts that come to mind when I read this point, wrote Jessica Kogan, most of which cannot be printed in this paper. Does she mean the violence that Israel did not ask for and did not start? This victim blaming of the highest order. In what gender studies class did Ms. Zarate learn this approach? And here's where this op-ed becomes interesting, because Kogan is no flaming BB acolyte right-winger. She's a modern feminist with a strong streak of Judaism in her. And her family background, by the way, classifies her as, I think it would be termed, a woman of color. Not somebody that Jen Zarate and the other leftist hags could turn around and hector for her white supremacy. It is galling, wrote Kogan, that Ms. Zarate is writing any of this under the banner of feminism. Victim blaming is not part of my feminism. Unfortunately, she continues. Zarate continues her scolding because the event did not talk about the suffering of Palestinian women. This Jewish Child and Family Services evening was about the story of gender-based violence that Israeli women experienced on October 7th. Would Ms. Zarate go to an event hosted by the Muslim, Black, or Indigenous communities and have the audacity to what about them, tellingly? Ms. Zarate had no hesitation doing so to the Jewish community. Again, it speaks for itself. Kogan going on to say that Zarate didn't show any compassion or empathy towards the members of the Jewish community who assembled that evening. Noting, as Kogan put it, learning to be an ally, that would be, you know, on the political left, right? The activist movements, etc. And learning to be an ally, I was taught to enter those sacred spaces silently with ears open and mouths closed. Somehow, inexplicably, Ms. Zarate did the opposite and turned our evening into a battleground on top of the bodies of our dead and the shattered hearts of those they left behind. Finally! You mean it was even worse? Yes, Jen Zarate is like an all-star performance. Zarate states that feminists, quote, need to speak up, must demand immediate ceasefire and end of the siege, etc. Hamas turned down every ceasefire offered and violated those that accepted. Of whom does Ms. Zarate demand a ceasefire? The one thing that this feminist warrior shockingly does not demand is the unconditional release of the hostages. Even the international court had the good sense to demand that. Ms. Zarate, with all her virtue signaling, does not see fit to call for an end of this gender-based violence against women and men. Israeli men, and I'm assuming some of the foreign workers as well, were sexually mutilated, tortured, and abused by the invading Hamas force on October 7th. The mainstream media in Winnipeg might not have told you. I am. Zarate, with all her virtue signaling, does not see fit to call for an end of this gender-based violence against women and men by calling for an immediate unconditional return of these women and of all the hostages. Disgraceful, hypocritical, telling under the circumstances, Ms. Zarate ought to issue an unreserved apology. Pretty strong. This is just an example. I've seen many other comments. The Jewish community is very upset with the Winnipeg Free Press. And in it's having heard, you know, the viewpoint of somebody who's a feminist, and I wouldn't say necessarily like a peer of Zarate, but this is like some white guy picking apart what was written and how wrong it was. Going to take a fast break, come back. You're going to hear more from a Winnipeg lawyer and his own observations about just how not just morally wrong, but reprehensible this publication, this column, event review, whatever you call it, by Jen Zarate, that it was published by the Free Press. A lawyer in the local community had a go at it as well in an op-ed in the Winnipeg Jewish Review. I'll have those details right after this break.
It's like beefs and bouquets. Well, not really.
I don't think this is a gold star award that Winnipeg should be proud of when you're featured in the Federal Conservatives' What Went Wrong in Canada scenarios, and Winnipeg's at the top of the class. So it's not something of a badge of honor, I think, for the current leadership at City Hall to wear.
You're listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
Perhaps you or Peter Warren could tell us.
On actionline.ca.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by The Hive Hair Company. From classic to funky, the styles of your life are at The Hive, in the heart of the Osborne Village at 175 Osborne. Call 452-4483 or online, thehivehaircompany.com.
If you have a story tip, an interview idea, or information the public needs to know, let us know. The Great Canadian Talk Show. Email martygoldlive@gmail.com. TGCTS. Old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
So imagine being Paul Simon, the editor of the Free Press, trying to find every way possible to get university students to start patronizing their product, to hold on to the readership it has, to portray this, what the Free Press does, as some sort of bastion of democracy and something the community can count on, that advertisers can count on. And in 48 hours, you know, we heard about this, you know, this was published on the Friday, you know, people before Shabbos, some people would have started contacting, if not Paul Simon, would have started contacting the publisher or the owners. Another opinion, op-ed, offered about this column. Very strongly worded from Lawrence Pinsky, King's Counsel, a fellow I knew growing up. He was quite a few years younger than me. I remember as a little kid, Larry Pinsky. We'd help walk him to and from school. Larry Pinsky, growing up to be a lawyer. And lo and behold, 50 some odd years later, we cross paths again, Larry and I, with an op-ed entitled Holocaust Remembrance and October 7th. How do you fix a problem like Zarate? Now, his starting point was going to be a demonstration plan to take place in front of the Canadian Museum of Human Rights on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And he was going to write about how people could argue it wasn't to support Hamas, but rather to, you know, peace sticks calling for an end to the war or support Palestinians. The circumstantial evidence tells a different story. In other words, frequently on that side of the political spectrum, when people say that it's about one thing, it's actually about something else. And very often it lands on anti-Semitism. Almost always it would. So he goes through all sorts of different historical matters. And he was going to write about it. I was going to write, he says, about the loss of decency in our society is evidenced by the choices these demonstrators made. Coincident with learning of the outrageous demonstration plan of the museum came Jen Zarate's hypocritically vile column in the Winnipeg Free Press entitled "The Battlefield Between Feminism and Rapes of War." Hypocritically vile. Ms. Zarate, who's usually held out in the paper as an entertainment columnist, breached the very principles she previously wrote that she held dear in doing so. In so doing, she denigrated the survivors and victims of the mass sexual assaults and other crimes committed by Hamas and their co-conspirators against Israeli women and men. Let there be no mistake. Hamas and the co-conspirator civilians who followed them in Israel on October 7th, including so-called journalists and participating United Nations employees, committed numerous crimes against humanity with genocidal intent. They variously raped, tortured, mutilated, burned children and adults, and decapitated some of the victims. Forgive the description. And he then goes on to describe gory genital mutilation and other practices. The barbarism was at a level beyond a normal person's ability to comprehend. People are still held hostage, he points out. In the face of this barbarism, we see so-called supporters of Palestine attempt to trample the memory of the victims and survivors of the Holocaust, and Ms. Zarate attempt to weaponize the horrors committed against the very victims of those crimes, Israelis. Ms. Zarate paid lip service to believing these vile crimes were committed, using the word ostensibly to describe the event was called Hear Our Voices. So she said the ostensible purpose of the Hear Our Voices event. She put a qualifier, as Pinsky describes, for those who do not know, ostensibly means purportedly or to all outward appearances, but perhaps not actually. It's a word that diminishes the tragedy and demeans the victims, both women, predominantly women, but men too, a category of person that Ms. Zarate seems incapable or unwilling to see or hear. Ms. Zarate later claims the violence of rape, quote, rarely falls neatly on the side of good guys or bad guys. Pinsky saying, when discussing October 7th and its aftermath, the war in Gaza, one must be crystal clear. The Israelis did no such thing. There's plainly one set of bad guys here. And now, similar to the way that Kogan went through this, and there was this, there was that, the other thing. Pinsky, the same thing. Ms. Zarate did not stop there, however. Out of one side of her pen, she agreed it's terrible that Israeli and Jewish women, once again evidencing an inability to hear that men were sexually targeted as well, feel abandoned and ignored, but out of the other, worse than ignoring them, she denigrated them. She points out the pro-Hamas agitators on university campuses in a fit of revisionism that would have made Joseph Goebbels, this is how Pinsky described it, a fit of revisionism that would have made Joseph Goebbels proud, denied that Hamas or supporters committed these crimes. Zarate takes aim at the solemn presentation of the proof of Hamas's crimes. She then went further, taking it upon herself to speak for these Israeli and Jewish women and victims and survivors, asserting it is less believable they would want their stories told with proof, given the horrendous nature of the proof. Zarate, in a revealing moment, fried the very reason such proof is required, she said, the solemn evening veered into agitprop. Lawyer Pinsky explaining agitprop, a word originally coined by Marxists to describe politically charged propaganda in art, theater, designed to stir the masses. He goes on to write, while Ms. Zarate might have a political agenda, and while she might want to gaslight in the tradition of her Marxist forebears, the facts are the facts. Hamas, their supporters, proudly without inhibition, film the atrocities they committed to top off this tripe. Ms. Zarate abused her presence at this earnest evening to accuse Israel of apartheid in this. Ms. Zarate wrongly conflated the presence of discrimination in some segments of Israeli society with apartheid, perhaps most audaciously. See how this builds? This isn't just using a wrong word or something like that. This was an entire column covering an event put on by the Jewish Child and Family Services, rather, about Jewish history to some extent, about recent Jewish history, about current affairs, about anti-Semitism, about Jew hate, about the Jew hate that comes from Islamists, from that part of the Muslim world. And Kogan and Larry Pinsky have overlapped in a couple of points. They basically point out, say, 12 things. Here comes number 13. Perhaps most audaciously, she purported to correct the feminism of the keynote speaker, Israeli lawyer and women's rights advocate Ms. Razin Bet-Or, by scolding her for showing photos and slides of the Hamas atrocities and telling her how she should interpret and act on the crimes committed by Hamas on October 7th. Larry Pinsky, with a brilliant punchline to his critique of this column in the Free Press. Ms. Zarate has previously written that non-Indigenous people should not purport to speak for Indigenous people. She has written previously that men should not speak for women when it comes to Israeli and Jewish women and men. However, Ms. Zarate seems to believe that there's an exception for her. In this, as in so much else, she is wrong. This all sounds like a big headache for Paul Simon, rapidly losing confidence of the Jewish community when he's sworn to uphold maintaining their confidence. It's even a little bit worse than that. Rhonda Spivak picking up on this theme and pulling another Free Press columnist into the mix of, I'm an anti-Zionist, not an anti-Semite. And we know what it adds up to. I'll fill you in on that little detail right after these words.
When you support the Great Canadian Talk Show, your donation makes sure that the investigations, the interviews, the fact-finding, the truth-telling can carry on. When you sponsor the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're telling the community that you think their stories matter. Our public affairs coverage continues to make a difference, challenging the slanted media narratives and giving a voice to the community. When you provide funding for the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're supporting old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters. Support TGCTS today.
Now, you'll notice that what we've talked about in here in episode 13 isn't about news coverage, which is also a matter that has caused Paul Simon a great amount of discomfort. And he's not the only editor or newsroom chief who's encountered difficulty with this. I can tell you that sometimes the wire copy that newsrooms get is horrid, horridly one-sided and biased. And this can include Reuters, AP. So when you're relying on wire copy as opposed to your own correspondence, and you have editors that simply don't have the life experience or alternately have a certain political orientation to understand what can and can't be plausibly published in a Winnipeg newspaper or, go on the air in Winnipeg or whatever, you're running into problems. Unless, of course, the orientation of the newsroom is completely off in this so-called pro-Palestinian realm. So first was Jessica Kogan's correspondence, and then second was Larry Pinsky's, and third, the editor of the Winnipeg Jewish Review herself, Rhonda Spivak, picking up that Jen Zarate has a fan club, and one of the members of the fan club is another Free Press columnist who, when Zarate tweeted out this vile, hypocritical opinion column, "Yes, feminists need to speak up to call for a ceasefire, my column today," she hit click, and a few hours later, in wades another Free Press check casher, John Longhurst. Great column. Longhurst, the faith reporter for the Free Press. Editor's report by Rhonda Spivak, filed February 5th. John Longhurst, faith reporter for Winnipeg Free Press, likes Zarate's anti-Israel column, Building or Burning Bridges. She references, she calls him right off the hop, John Longhurst, which is pretty funny. Tweeted that this was a great column, and she provided a screenshot. And Spivak, herself a lawyer, as I recall, educated in law, wastes no time. Does he not understand that in raving about Zarate's calling to paint a picture of Israel as an apartheid state, accusing the Israeli speaker of spouting propaganda and calling for a ceasefire without even mentioning necessary release of Israeli women, children, men held hostage, he would not be bridge building but damaging his relationship with the Jewish community? And that sound you hear is Paul Simon banging his head against his desk. Because they rely on donations to maintain that faith page. And I would not be surprised if major Jewish organizations have donated to maintain it. Now, this is also significant, as Rhonda Spivak, if there was a race, if there was a race to be the most left-wing but still Zionist Jew in Winnipeg, I don't mean this as an insult, Rhonda Spivak would be right in there. She's pretty left-wing, and she's a pretty Zionistic. She believes in the Jewish state. So here's another lefty, veteran lefty, taking her toe of her you know, tennis shoe, I guess, and lying in the sand. As a man of faith, Longer ought to have shown sensitivity. He could recognize those of us here in Winnipeg who have family and friends who've been murdered, raped, injured, miraculously survived the onslaught. We're deeply affected by the October 7th terror attack without having Zarate or Longers demean that experience. Zarate's column in Longers' tweet also failed to acknowledge Hamas as an Iranian proxy. Like Hezbollah in Lebanon, she says, the Houthis in Yemen, and the Shiite militants in Iraq. With this little tweet, Longhurst has set back interfaith relations. What makes things worse, notes Rhonda Spivak, is that Longhurst actually interviewed the Israeli speaker, Ayelet Razin Bet-Or, and the program's moderator, Gail Asper, for the Free Press. Oh, really? How does Longhurst propose to repair that which he has damaged? How does Longhurst propose to repair that with what he has damaged? Is that the damage to the Free Press or the damage to the Jewish community? She points out the faith page is supported by churches, mosques, and as far as she knows, the Jewish Federation of Winnipeg and the Jewish Foundation of Manitoba. As for Zarate, wrote Spivak, in her column, she indicated that feminism is a movement against domination, but fails to examine how Hamas has treated Palestinian civilians, including women and girls. Why have they failed to call, meaning Zarate and Longhurst, the two columns from the Free Press, to call for an end to Hamas rule in Gaza? The Hamas terror group, which Spivak says hardly qualifies as a feminist movement, has been dominating the Palestinian people of Gaza, by stealing, including women and girls, by stealing international humanitarian aid, misusing financial international aid to build tunnels and a war machine, rather than investing in a society that cares for its people and will lead to a better life for them. Why isn't Zarate or Longhurst calling for Hamas leaders to surrender their weapons and exit Gaza? Surely Zarate believes Gazan women deserve to vote in an election. Which there's been none since Hamas came to power. How exactly has Hamas benefited Palestinian women and girls? Rhonda Spivak concluding, are Zarate or Longhurst aware that recently women and children of Gaza have protested against Hamas for failing to care about its own people and bring ruin on Gaza? And I reported that in a podcast about 3-4 podcasts ago, actually probably the last coverage we did on anti-Semitism. Again, probably the only place in Winnipeg outside of Rhonda Spivak that you would have heard about that. So you see, when the agenda, when the narrative is driven in a certain way, and that is dictating how the conversations take place, and the Free Press empowering consecutively columnists reinforcing each other's, I'm an anti-Zionist, not an anti-Semite, but we see what's really going on. As described by Jessica Kogan, by Larry Pinsky, and by Rhonda Spivak. I'm telling all of you, I am privy to discussions, conversations, chat rooms, etc. I have never seen, ever in my lifetime, fear to be a Jew in Canada, to go to Jewish-oriented stores or delis or whatever, to go to your own businesses, to conduct your own affairs. And now there's fear. A lot of it rests, the responsibility for enabling this atmosphere rests with the seat of government in Ottawa, which is a discussion for another day. But many newsrooms, I mean, it'd be no surprise if I say CBC is unbelievably biased in the way they present headlines about Israel, about the war, about the military aspects. The Free Press is not much better. And with the Free Press, this was just a discussion, not of the news coverage, which is a topic for another day. So much wrong in one column. so much damage done by another columnist. And Paul Simon, knocking his head against the table, having now to repair the relationship with the Jewish community and potentially with the Jewish Federation and with the Jewish Foundation. I will continue to report on anti-Semitism. I'll continue to report on all these Jew haters, on all these incidents where Israel is demonized, and all these incidents where jihadists are celebrated, and all these instances where the values of Western society are being undermined, denigrated, white supremacy, colonialism, and all the rest of it. And deep, deep in the root of this in current Western society institutions is, of course, DEI. Hiring practices. The oppressor oppressed theories of how society is built and maintained and has been maintained. In the end, no matter how you look at it, the Jews are the whipping boy. The Jews are at fault. The Jews should do things differently. Jen Zarate basically said so. You're not grieving these people properly. How dare you tell the truth of how they were raped and slaughtered? How do you know that they would want that truth to be told? God knows, every Jewish woman in history who's ever suffered a tragic, violent, abused fate because they were Jewish, none of them wanted that story told. Just ask Jen Zarate. We're going to continue to be here for you. We're going to continue to be a strong beacon and a voice for those who stand with Israel, who stand against anti-Semites. This has nothing to do with standing with the Israeli government, just to be clear. I do not really have and never have expressed great positions about Israeli politics. But the principle of a Jewish state, we stand for that. The principle of safety for Jews in Canada, in Winnipeg, we stand for that. We stand for the values that our society has been built on. And those values don't include platforming points of view and historical revisionism, the likes of which are favored by entertainment reporters and faith columnists. The Free Press can do better. They may not have much time to turn that ship around when it comes to these issues and the Jewish community. You can catch all our podcasts and stories on actionline.ca. Coming up soon, it's the second half of my interview with Councillor Ross Seedy, but it's a separate interview. And it's a very, very interesting discussion. We're going to be discussing all sorts of things, including security at City Hall and security on city streets. You're not going to want to miss that. Few other things on tap. Interview with a developer coming up about a major housing development in Winnipeg. And we're going to work on telling that story. More information about transit safety and the abuses faced by drivers. And of course, I'm sure now that we've asked 9 questions, we'll see. And I have gotten a couple of answers from the Fire Paramedic Service already to a couple of the questions that we posed in episode 12. Winnipeg MSM stumbles into the 911 controversy, the 911 failures at the Cork and Flame. So we've gotten a couple of answers to that. We'll be following up on that. There's probably going to be one episode that'll be a little, I don't know if the term is omnibus, it'll be a potpourri, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, get caught up. Got a really good email from a listener about Winnipeg turning into Detroit, one of our favorite terms. You can email us news tips, comments, contributions towards our costs and expenses, martygoldlive@gmail.com. You can go to the donate page. We're almost on the verge of getting that ready and kicking off that next fundraising drive. CTV's cut back. There's less news in this market than ever. You see the quality and lack thereof that you'll get from some of the established Trudeau-funded agencies and operations. I stand here at your service. Actionline is here for you. It's funded by listeners and readers. It works on your behalf to tell your stories, stand up for your points of view hold people accountable. And whether it's the first episode or the last episode or every episode in between, there's a core value here that we maintain throughout. You have the power. We'll be back with more in a couple of days. Thank you for listening.
What the legacy media won't talk about.
They're too busy covering ribbon cuttings and other such things.
He will.
Winnipeg radio, it's moved more and more away from being dynamic, provocative, and closer to...
It's Marty Gold.
That's not the way it should be, especially with broadcast licenses issued by the CRTC, but that's their problem.
On the Great Canadian Talk Show Podcast.
Not the power of CKY or CKRC, but we intend to try to match them in quality.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.